If you're visiting with us, you may sense some heaviness among us, and that's because we lost someone dear to us. And we want to continue to remember the Fraser family and other families who have suffered loss recently, and also wanted to add another to our prayer list. Joy McDonald fell yesterday and incurred a big knot on her head, chipped a bone, I believe, in her elbow. She's in the hospital, but hopefully will come home today. So please remember Joy and her family. But I want to say that I am so thankful to be a member of this church family. The way that you have responded to the Frasers has been marvelous. I thought I had all that out of me. Still got some more. But I can't tell you how much I've read more Facebook over the last week than I have my entire life. Don't even have a Facebook account, but your posts, your messages of love, support, your prayers, your cards, those of you who still use snail mail, your prayers, your presence, your love have, I'm sure, been warmly received and appreciated. And may that just continue. May it continue. Church is much more than just coming together on Sunday morning to worship, isn't it? So much more than that. And that's a great, tremendous part of it. But it goes beyond Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. It goes to being a family all the time. So thank you for being that kind of family. One of the posts that I read this past week was from Marge the Sarge. You remember her? Marge York. She now lives in California. Marge the Sarge, we gave her that name when she was here after Katrina, Hurricane Katrina. She was very involved in the disaster response team and spent weeks here among us, living in our building, basically. She helped organize things, and just a beautiful spirit about her. And she was commenting, sending her prayers and giving comments to the Frasers, prayerful support. And one thing that she noted was that during difficult times, she would often go to the Psalms, where she found tremendous comfort. I've been doing a lot of that over the last couple of weeks. And so I invite you to open your Bibles to one of those Psalms, Psalm 46. And if you'll read along and study with us from your Bible, from your iPad, whatever you have your Bible on, I hope it'll be especially meaningful to you. In so many of the Psalms, in a lot of our Bibles, study Bibles especially, they'll have a heading to the Psalm. A heading that sometimes tells us what was going on when the psalmist wrote this particular Psalm. A historical record, if you will. It gives us some context as to what was happening in the life of the psalmist or in the life of Israel when he wrote by inspiration this psalm. There's not one of those for Psalm 46. Some Bible students suggest that the psalmist may have written Psalm 46 when Assyria was attacking Israel. In fact, the Assyrian army had surrounded Jerusalem. And it's a vast army. Assyria was the world power at that time. And so the people inside the walls of Jerusalem were fearful. They were afraid. They just knew their time had come to an end, that the Assyrians were about to overtake them. But the next morning, The camp was empty, and many of the Assyrian army soldiers were dead. God had sent a plague among them, defeating them without a battle. And so Jerusalem was saved by God yet again. Some suggest that is the historical reference to Psalm 46. But folks, when you read it, there are many times when, yes, we need to understand it in its historical setting, but there's some times when the words, because of circumstances in our own lives, just seem to be so applicable without even knowing the historical setting. And I think this psalm really speaks to us, especially during the difficult times. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, even though the earth be removed, though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though its waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling. Selah. This poetic language, verses 2 and 3, it's describing an upheaval in the life of Israel, perhaps with that Assyrian army surrounding Jerusalem. But in descriptive terms, it's talking about when your world is turned upside down, when your world is crumbling around you. The psalmist is able to say, because God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble, we will not fear. Though the world crumbles in around us, we will not fear. Because there are times in our lives, and in this church family, we're in that time, when the world seems to be crumbling in. What do you do when your world comes apart? What do you do? Let's look at this psalm. Number one, you find refuge in God. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. If the historical setting was the people in Jerusalem surrounded by this Assyrian army, this vast army, I'm sure they felt defeated already, even before the battle began. They look out beyond their walls and they see no hope whatsoever. It's over. But then, when dawn came, they realize our hope isn't in our own resources. Our refuge isn't found in these walls that surround our city. God is our refuge and our strength. God is our refuge and our only refuge. I read about a family, a retired couple. This is back in the 1980s, early 80s. The threat of nuclear war was real. And this retired couple was so concerned about this threat of nuclear war, they searched the globe. They had the means to do it. And so they wanted to find a place on earth where they could move and live without the fear of the imminent nuclear threat. And so when they searched, did a lot of research and searched throughout the globe, they determined that the Falkland Islands, so off the southern tip of South America, would be one of the safest places they could find. So they moved there. In 1982, the Falkland Islands became a battle zone between Britain and Argentina. They went to the Falkland Islands looking for refuge. And what they found was war. And the point is, our refuge is not found in anything that this world has to offer. Our refuge is not in our health, our jobs, There's only one source of security. When the economy collapses, when wars break out, when natural disasters destroy our homes, when government fails, when our health deteriorates, when we have to say goodbye, there's only one source of refuge. God is our refuge. He is our refuge because of who He is, because of His person. God is the word Elohim. It means the mighty one, the great one, the powerful one. It calls to memory all that God has done in the past and will do in the future. And it is in Him where we find refuge. In verses 7 and 11 of this very psalm, you'll read the phrase, "The Lord of hosts is with us." Remember, if the context is they're surrounded by an Assyrian army, a host of Assyrians. Notice the psalmist says, "The Lord of hosts is with us." His host would include all the angels of heaven. It indicates that God has control over all things and power over all things. And because of who He is our refuge. He is also our protection. That's what refuge alludes to. It's a hiding place, a secure place. I like the term a shelter. He's our shelter. You remember this song that we sing? "The Lord's our rock, in Him we hide. A shelter in the time of storm. Secure whatever ill betide. A shelter in the time of storm." And what that song reminds us is that, just as Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, every foundation, every house is going to have the storms come. The rains will descend, the floods will come, the winds will beat on that house. God doesn't deliver us from the storms all the time, but He'll deliver us in the storm. He'll be our refuge. He'll be our shelter to help us endure the storm. Deuteronomy 33 verse 27 says, "The eternal God is your refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms." And I love that picture, don't you? That when we stumble because of the weight of the world on our shoulders, He's there to catch us. The everlasting arms. Psalm 57, verse 1, "Be merciful to me, O God, be merciful to me, for my soul trusts in You, and in the shadow of Your wings I will make my refuge until these calamities have passed by." God, while the storm is raging, I want to find refuge under the shadow of Your wings. He is our strength. Refuge may speak of defensive protection. Strength speaks of offensive protection. We cannot spend our lives hiding in a safe place. Many times we have to go out and we have to face life again. And when we do, God gives us the strength to meet life's challenges. The psalmist in another place said, "The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. My God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold." Because of who He is, because of His protection, but also because of His continual presence, God is our refuge. He's a very present help in trouble. I've got to tell you this. The word trouble is actually plural. He's a very present help in troubles. That's the harsh reality of our lives, that we'll encounter many troubles. It's a part of living in this world. But He's a very present help in troubles. A very present, ever present. It speaks to the availability of God. He's always present. To the sufficiency of God, that He is a help. He is our strength to endure those troubles. Sometimes God's presence doesn't mean that we'll be delivered from some difficult circumstance. But if not, His presence means that He will give us the strength to endure those circumstances. As we continue in Psalm 46, notice what the psalmist says, that when God is our refuge, what that means to us. Number one, it means we don't despair. To despair means to lose all hope, to be overcome by a sense of futility or defeat. Again, thinking about the people in Jerusalem surrounded by this Assyrian army, it means to give up even before the battle has begun. To believe there is no hope. But it's in that setting, or that type of setting, that the psalmist says, though the world come crumbling around us, we will not fear. When we understand that God is our refuge, we can be free from the power of fear. Two things that we think of as immovable are the earth and the mountains. We refer to the earth as the terra firma, the firm earth. We look at the mountains and they seem to be so permanent. Yet the psalmist is describing when the mountains are cast into the sea, and though the earth be shaken and moved, we will not fear, because God is our refuge. I like what one person said: security is not the absence of trouble, but the confidence and courage we have in the midst of trouble. This comes from faith in God. When God is our refuge, we don't despair. Rather, we can still have hope. Look at verse 4 and underscore this. There is a river whose streams shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. There's a great contrast between verses 2 and 3 and verse 4. Verses 2 and 3, things are being shaken, mountains being moved, waters roaring. But in verse 4, it's a peaceful scene. There's a river whose streams shall make glad the city of God. That river is used symbolically here. It signifies the presence of God and the difference that the presence of God makes. And the effect of God's presence is peace. It's a peaceful setting here. And it reminds us, to me, it points to the city of God, the eternal city of God, whose builder and maker is God. It points to heaven. And we go over into the New Testament, we see in Revelation 21 and 22 a reference to, well, John says, He showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and of the Lamb. And again, a peaceful scene, because God is present. There's a river that flows in the city of God. Verse 5, God is in the midst of her, speaking of that city. She shall not be moved. God shall help her just at the break of dawn. The city of God will not be moved, for God is in the midst of her. And again, it speaks to the peace of knowing that God is in control. But when God is our refuge, we also know this, that we shall be victorious. Verse 6, the nations raged, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered His voice, the earth melted. And it speaks to God's power over the nations. And then in verse 7 and again in verse 11, we read, the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. And that word refuge there is different than the word found in verse 1. The word refuge in verse 1 refers to a shelter. Again, a shelter in the time of storm. But this word refuge in verses 7 and 11 refers to a stronghold. NIV has fortress. It's a high place, an inaccessible place. The Lord of hosts, the God of Jacob, is our fortress, our high place, our stronghold, where no enemy can ultimately defeat us. verses 8 and 9. Come, behold the works of the Lord, who has made desolations in the earth. He makes wars cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariot in the fire. And it speaks of a time of war, but how God causes those wars to cease. And one day, God will end all wars. Wars among nations, but even more. Wars in estranged relationships. Wars against evil. Wars with difficult circumstances. Wars within ourselves. God will end all wars. And if we're aligned with Him, we'll be victorious. What do we do when our world crumbles around us? Look at verse 10 as we conclude. Be still and know that God is God. Be still and know that I'm God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The New American Standard Version renders it, cease striving. Cease striving and know that I am God. In the Hebrew, the literal meaning is, let the hands hang down. Let the hands hang down. When we're control freaks, it's hard to do. Because we want to use our hands. We want to act like it's up to me to make a difference here. It's all up to me to endure this thing. And so I've got to do it with my own power. And what we discover is that we're not powerful enough to endure it. We don't have the strength to withstand these storms. We got to have our strength from somewhere else. And God says to that, let your hands down. I'm your refuge. Your strength comes from me. Sometimes we wring our hands in despair, and God says, let your hands down. Put your trust in me. Sometimes we throw our hands up in the air and give up. And I think about the people in Jerusalem. They're surrounded by the army, and they throw their hands up in despair. God says, let your hands down. If you'll trust in me, ultimately, you'll be victorious. God says, let your hands hang down. Stop long enough to realize that I am God, that I am still in control, and that I can give you strength. There's a song I'd like for us to sing based on this verse. Some of you know it, and if you do, sing out. It's just this verse put to music. Again, if you know it, sing out. Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. I hope this psalm will resonate with you. That whenever you encounter the storm, that you'll remember God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. That perhaps you'll even sing this song to help you, remind you, keep trusting in God. Realize He is our refuge and strength. We can't endure the storms without Him. We can't endure without Him. We can be still and know that God loves us, that He cares for us, that He can and will bless our lives if we'll just keep trusting in Him. That trust will lead you to surrender your life in obedience to His will. I believe that because of what has happened over the past couple of weeks in the Fraser family and in our church family, that many more souls are going to be brought closer to God. May it begin with you and me. If you need to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ, if you need to come back home, won't you do it right now as we stand and sing?